Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Marry My Husband, episodes 13 and 14. Dads, be good to your daughters. Otherwise, they're going to be sumins.
They are going to have daddy issues.
Lessons learned. Let's see what our crew is up to.
Leanne, things look different in this room. What's going on? It's like empty and very, very neat.
This guest room, yes. Spring has sprung. With spring comes spring cleaning. Also with spring come my in-laws. Flying over. Cross oceans to get here. So spring has forced my
After
hand.
After the rain.
Yes, the flowers
comes
are blooming.
The flowers.
Mm-hmm. So it's forced my hand. I, as you know, looking through my cupboards as you have in my house, I'm not an organized person. My best friend, she'll have like a weekend off from her children. She'll be home alone and she will offer to fly up for the day. She lives in
to
LA.
To organize.
She's offered to organize my pantry before. Just like fly in the morning, organize my pantry, and then fly out at night.
Wow, that is a friend you keep.
I know. And instead I say, why don't you fly in? Let's just drink all day, nap, and then you can go home. So we usually do that.
Well, she can drink and organize at the same time.
She can, but somehow we get very distracted. Yes.
So what is that connection to your in-laws?
Outside, it looks like neat because yes. I have, you know, cleaners help me and, you know, I can put away messes, but I just throw it into a closet. And so I have this one junk closet that's here in the guest room, which is where my in-laws sleep when they come. And usually they only use half of it. So we'll clear half of it out. But the other half is like, it's like probably 10 feet high, this closet. When you open the sliding door, it feels, it's a death trap.
Like, is it like everything's going to crumble down on
you? Oh, yeah, yeah. It just falls out. I almost tell my little girls, like, don't open it because it's going to fall on you. So it's just a mess. I've never taken care of it. I'm at work at my desk. And so for me to get to my office, I have to like cross a bridge.
Right.
And I had taken the bus that day. So I'm at work and my husband texts me. He's like, I'm cleaning this closet out.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I start immediately sweating. I'm like, oh my God. He's going to find all the things that I forgot to return with new tags on them. That's why hide it.
Yeah, that have gone past its return date.
Oh, yeah. No, they're still in their boxes.
This reminds me of the time that we went to Mexico and bought the ceramics. And then you were trying to hide them from him.
Yes.
And then I think you ended up donating them somewhere because they were so well hidden in a bag somewhere.
Yeah, I bought all these ceramics that I knew I was going to get grief about because I buy ceramics a lot of plates. And dishes. I schlepped them. They're very heavy.
I know they were so heavy.
And I get home and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to hide them for a little bit. And then I hid them so well, I never found them again. And then I realized I had gone into the donation pile. Anyway, so that was me just at work sweating. I couldn't even get home to race home to like stop
him.
Oh my
God. Because
my bus like, wasn't running.
Get onto a bus, cross a freeway, then a bridge.
Is there anything more like bone chilling than being exposed by your husband for all of your hidden
all the junk. In your closet.
I know.
Not the skeletons.
No, exactly. So yes, but now he did a great job. It's all been cleaned and taken to the dump and my in-laws are coming and it's nice and organized for them.
That kind of reminds me of this thing that I saw on TikTok. It was a clip from HGTV.
Okay.
You know, there's a show where the people are going out to look for a house. So they give a budget and they like the realtor will show you all the different ones and do the pros and cons.
House hunters.
And this episode featured a thruple.
Oh,
I maybe naively did not know that these actually existed. So it's a heterosexual couple married, had two children. But the husband said that when he married her, he always knew that she was bisexual. Like she had laid the groundwork early on. Like she found a woman to bring into the relationship. Basically a contract between the three of them that they're like committed to each other.
Did also, they sleep in the same room? Like what were the bedroom requirements?
Right. I mean, they didn't go so far, but the third woman who joined always felt like the third wheel because she's like, they have a 2-car garage. You know, there's only like two bathrooms upstairs or whatever. And she's like, I want to move into a house where there's a 3-car garage because it's all about equality. I want my own space. But anyway, this like reminds me of a conversation I had with another mom in the neighborhood who was like, I need a wife to help me organize our lives. You know, like to have a third person. I don't know. Maybe then like that person will feel like they're just the help. I'm not sure. But what that contractual relationship will be like. But imagine how nice it would be if you had a...
What really?
Would you rather have a wife or would you rather have a husband?
Oh, no. Definitely a wife. I mean, really, we just need a personal assistant.
I know.
I think we can actually pool our resources together and share a personal assistant across the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like all the moms have one personal assistant that they pay one day a week, and then they come to our houses and basically organize our pantry.
Right.
And get rid of the, make our returns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That thruple sounds like it might actually be working. The thruple that's not working is Soomin, deadbeat husband, and potentially Yuda.
You could cut it that way, or it could be deadbeat husband, Chiwon, and hunky GM.
That's right. Let's get
no equality there.
Let's get into episode 13. I thought these episodes were so good because there was so much action. It really moved quicker than it had in the past. We start episode 13. We go back in time a little bit to set up the events leading up to the car crash. We ended last episode 12.
Yep.
With a truck of doom. Hunky GM is making eye contact with Jiwon as he's about to take the hit for her.
Right.
We start this episode six or seven days before to see like how this all came to be, right? So we see Yura in the backseat of her car with deadbeat husband.
Well, she's trying to seduce him in some way to do her dirty work, right? Because right. And then it comes out that she wants deadbeat husband to kill Jiwon, which I mentioned this last week, but like
too much.
Unnecessarily aggressive, like too over the top. She can kind of like club her at her knees. She doesn't have to like go so far as to kill her.
She can Nancy Kerrigan her.
Yes.
Right. Just disable the girl. Send her off to like a work camp in China. Like,
send her to China. Exactly.
Yeah. No need to freaking kill the lady. And she's like, you can have all the money and I'll get Ji-hyuk. I'm like, girl, you're never going to get Ji-hyuk.
Yeah.
That's not actually an end game. That's a reality here. So her motives doesn't really ring true because what she wants is never going to happen. She's never going to get Ji-hyuk. In fact, she really wants just Ji-hyuk's
Well, she
property.
Wants the company too, right. right? She wants to be sort of the head or the missus of the company so that she can run it.
And we see later he offers it to her and she feels insulted by it. So her motives are just shaky at this point, but they just need her to be evil and try to get her to try to kill Jiwon. So yeah, so she offers deadbeat husband, kill Jiwon, I'll make you rich. Of course, deadbeat husband in classic deadbeat husband style calls Soomin and is like, hey, let's do this, but obviously doesn't do any work himself.
Right.
So now we see a little bit of Soomin's backstory for the first time.
Yeah.
She goes to visit her dad.
I mean, okay, I wish they brought this out earlier. It all really makes so much sense now. So she goes to this Hyundai shop and she sees loan sharks beating up this man.
Of course.
And of course they suggest that he take out his liver for payment.
Right. I was thinking in Korea, if you want job stability, just become a gangster debt collector. There is no...
You can make so much money.
And there's no end of jobs. There's okay. always so someone to torment.
There's always. Well, yes. And I looked up this article because I was like, is this real? Like, are these types of loan sharks really that rampant? And do people really sell their organs to pay for this kind of stuff? So I looked it up. In fact, the president of Korea is on a campaign to punish these loan sharks because it is so rampant. And I saw an article that said a woman was arrested for charging an interest rate of 5,214%. Okay, so somebody wow. borrowed 250,000 won, which is, let's say, equivalent to $250, right?
Yeah.
And then that debt skyrocketed to $150 million, which is $150,000. So I don't know what the percentage is on that, but that is from $250,000 to $150,000.
Oh,
so
no.
No wonder these people are like, but why are you borrowing $250?
But that's why it's really sad because that you would have to borrow $250 and then can't pay it back to the point where you now owe $150,000.
And your liver. You owe your liver.
Oh.
Well, and they're saying now because banks and lenders are raising the bar on how, you know, people who can get a loan. And so they're just, business owners are turning to loan sharks because it's just like an easy, like, cash to carry, whatever that.
Predatory lending,
exactly.
Yeah. That is really shocking.
5,214%? What? That's like, I mean, that would be illegal in any other context. So they're being punished and some of these people are being sent to prison. But then you're still left with these business owners who are like, I need money to start a business or I need some money to survive. So I guess it happens. It is art imitating life.
We should go into microloans in Korea, but like be an upstanding microlender.
Hey, don't go out there and steal our idea. This could really have some traction.
But I'm not going to lend to in restaurants in Korea.
Right. But that's the other thing. When you go to Korea and you go every few years, mm-hmm. right? Don't you see that a lot of these storefronts, their turnover rate is so high.
Yeah.
Very rarely are you going, you're like, oh, there's this one restaurant that I went to 2 years ago that's still there.
Right. I mean, I can't recognize anywhere I go in Korea. So I'm like, ooh, Paris baguette. Tous les jours. No, basically the two places I frequent every day are E-Mart and Starbucks.
Remember when we used to go to that boba shop? What was it called?
Oh, yes. It was Gongcha.
It was Gongcha. But yeah. At that time, we had never been to a Gongcha and it was so delicious. Is that still there?
It's still there. Ah, it's still in the mall.
See, I mean, that's like a big box retailer.
The mall chain store. The mall stores end up, I think, lasting. It's this neighborhood street alley stores that, I don't know, may or may not be there every time.
And then on top of that, it's because their trends rotate so quickly. Like salt bread apparently is very big right now. It's just,
oh, I had that when I was there,
right?
Last
like
time,
that's like every bakery will do it. And then pretty soon it'll be something else. And then if you're not good at adjusting to that change as a business, then it's much harder to survive.
Right. So Suman's dad owns this restaurant or owes money on this restaurant. Yeah. And Suman comes in. She's like, where's that woman you live with? And she comes up and it's
Jiwon's mom.
Twist.
Oh my gosh. Well, we got a little breadcrumb because Yura had said to Minhwan in the boxing ring that, oh, it seems like Suman and Jiwon were acting like sisters, but maybe they really are sisters. Well, now it makes so much sense why Suman hated Jiwon all of these years.
Yes. It actually makes her relatable. And I can actually understand it. Before, it was just she just seemed to hate her, but we're not sure why. Now, I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but I can see why.
Yeah.
I didn't see this one coming. Did you see this coming?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I texted my best friend. She's very good at calling these types of twists. I was like, did you see that? I feel like you would have seen this coming. She's like, no, she didn't even see it coming. So it was a great setup by the writers. I think we were frustrated for a long time because they held out a lot of Suman backstory from us. But I think it pays off really well with this twist because we needed to know nothing about her in order to have this twist be surprising to us.
And they wanted us to hate Suman.
Right. And always just be on Jiwon's side. So the beginning of the episode sets up this pay-to-kill agreement between Yura and deadbeat husband and Suman. The dad and the mom agree to do this dirty work.
To basically kill Jiwon.
Her own daughter.
Yeah.
This woman is also very one-dimensionally terrible, the mother. There is another scene kind of just like outside of this circle. There's a scene where Ji-hyuk comes walking into Yura's apartment and offers her a portfolio package. Leave Jiwon alone. You could have these companies worth, I don't know, billions
Some
of dollars.
Some trillion dollars, yeah.
She's insulted by this. And it turns out that deadbeat husband is in the back room. And she's kind of like coming on to him.
Yeah, so did they sleep together?
I wasn't sure. That was my question to you.
I think the insinuation is that they slept together.
Okay. So they're setting up Yura as the third woman, right? That he's cheating
the
on
thruple.
His wife. Why would she sleep with him? What, again, is the motivation here? She's like, you're better looking in person than you are in photos. He's not that good looking. You're so rich. You could sleep with your mute bodyguard. Who
yes.
is way hotter.
Way hotter.
For a second, I texted you this. I thought mute bodyguard was
real estate agent Wonik
from Singles Inferno 3. Because also there was boxing. And I was like, oh, Wonik.
Oh, that's right.
Boxed in the show. But this guy's much hotter.
He is much hotter.
He's hot because he's mute.
Exactly. Just stay silent. Mm-hmm. Also, I looked up deadbeat husband. And the irony here in real life, his father is the CEO of an LG subsidiary.
No way.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know, a very rich kid. But I know you said you liked these episodes. Mm-hmm. I was not enthralled by these episodes because there were so many unnecessary red herring storylines and also just veered so far from where we were headed. It was just like they were throwing everything on the drawing board.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was still, for me, I was doing a lot of, ooh.
When you turn off your brain, you're like, oh, this is fun.
Great. But yeah, why she's sleeping with deadbeat husband makes no sense. It's not like her sleeping with him will get him to do her bidding. He's doing it for the money, not for you.
Right? And it won't even upset Chiyok. Nobody cares. Nobody will be jealous about this. Hoomin doesn't even care.
Yeah, they just need it for the fate storyline. So then we get to the actual crash. It turns out Jiwon's mom rents a dump truck. So they call it a dump truck in the show. So now we know that the truck of doom, that kind of truck, which we were speculating, like, is it a fish delivery truck, is a dump truck. Now we know. They know her route. Soomin's dad is driving the truck. And of course, he crashes into the wrong person.
Yep.
So he comes back to the hotel where Soomin and Jiwon's mom are waiting. And he's like, oh, I did the wrong thing. Right. And Soomin is just like,
you never do the right thing. You can never get it right.
But then we see next, deadbeat husband comes into the room. And Soomin is there alone. She's like hyperventilating, crying because her dad's left her again. This is like deep dad trauma she's got.
It is deep dad trauma. And I think also when she saw Jiwon, who was similarly abandoned by her mother, she was jealous because Jiwon had her father who loved her so much. And Soomin really has never had that in her life. She had a dad who acted like he loved her, ran away with this woman, and then she caught him ignoring her phone calls and telling Chiwon's mom, oh, my daughter's so annoying, just like her mom. You know, so she's got deep wounds of abandonment. This storyline actually really does create a 3D character. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, any person who is a villain in our lives, they've just got a lot other stuff going on that, you know, we have to be empathetic towards.
Thanks, Dr. Juliet. I mean, you're trying to, you know, back up Soomin's evilness in this drama.
It makes me feel so sad for her.
I know. It all comes out. Jiwon calls Soomin, is like, what the heck? Why are you trying to kill me?
Yeah.
And Soomin's just, she's like, don't you feel sorry for me? Like, your mom took my dad and I was ignored. The twist again is that Jiwon's like, I knew too.
Yeah.
But she saw it as like, we were sisters together in this bad situation. So it's a real classic story of half glass empty, half glass full.
Right.
Are you a more of a glass full, glass empty person?
I'm more glass full on the day to day, on a very like macro existential level. Actually, no, I think I'm a pretty half glass full person.
Yeah. I think if you're creating lists to always better yourself, that's a full point of view.
Right.
Like it could get better. And like, you know, things are always up for improvement.
Oh, today, this morning, well, my kids woke up very early. Both of them came into our bed. And so my son was up at like 6:15. And then I got up and I like had the lemon ginger drink you made for me. Mm-hmm. I had an apple cider vinegar shot. And then I like went on my trampoline. I did Pilates and then I went out and like sat in the sun and meditated. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so good. You know, I was like, it's so simple. You know, when you do things like that, you're like, wow, it's so simple to have a good morning.
Peaceful morning.
Yeah. I'm probably going to crash in about an hour. What about you? Are you half glass full or empty?
Yeah, I'm glass full. Everything is like, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know. Soomin is definitely half glass empty. I'm going to take this glass, throw it on the ground, and take a shard and stab Jiwon with it. Like, she is dark.
She is psycho.
Half empty.
And she's also very much victim. Like, she's playing the victim card towards Jiwon. And I think if they had just told each other early on, like, oh, I know these things, it would have resolved a lot of these issues, you know?
I know, but you're young. Like, when you're an adolescent, you just don't know what to do, you know?
And then the best part was when Soomin is trying to play the victim again, she's like, I was pregnant. And she was like, you fool, he has azoospermia. I love that word so much. And it's spelled A-Z-O-O.
Yeah, no, it is the best word ever. This drama was worth it for me that we learned that term. Jiwon is like, bitch, I'm coming after you.
And this is really when Jiwon takes a turn, right? Like, she almost turns into a villain in Soomin's life, right?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm coming for revenge. And a lot of this was because when she was in the hospital with Chi-hyuk, the hunky GM, she was like, oh, actually, I came back to this life and I've done nothing. Mm-hmm. I have not exacted revenge. I thought putting them together was revenge enough, but clearly it wasn't. So then we have another kind of plot twist where she's going to start getting really aggressive towards bringing death on them, which I feel like is also sort of out of her character to be like, okay, well now I'm going to go and kill you.
Yeah, I think she is now seeing that maybe the death part, the cancer part, is going to Meek Manager and is not going to Suman. And I think she's really now like, no, Suman needs to die. And she is kind of saying that not only did Suman need to marry deadbeat husband, but that deadbeat husband needs to also want to kill her for another woman. That was like the missing piece that still hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So we'll see this in episode 14. Before we get there, we finish up 13 with Jiwon at Hunky GM's bedside. You know, of course, he wakes up. He's just like been in a coma and his eyes just open. Like,
he doesn't have any eye boogers. Bing. Come on.
No eye boogers. Your mouth must be so dry, right, bro.
I haven't been in a coma, but I've come out of surgery several times now.
You're woozy.
You don't look that cute.
No, you sure don't.
You don't. Mm-mm. You don't. Your lips are crusty. People are having to like put ice chips in it, slather it with Vaseline. Your breath stinks.
His face basically doesn't even have a scratch on it. No wonder his surgery took so long. It was plastic surgeons in there.
When I got my first C-section, I said to the doctor, I was like, can you do a tummy tuck while you're down there?
Do they?
So, and I only said that because somebody had told me that that's what their doctor did. They like sewed them up really tight and they said, ha ha ha, and they didn't do it.
If you were in LA, maybe.
I know. I would have slipped them a few hundreds to do it.
I know, seriously. Homie is wide awake. Instead of hey, it's sarang hey. I mean, he just straight goes to the I love you. We didn't talk about this, but we see a scene of him in the car racing to go save Jiwon. He knows now that the truck is going to hit her.
Right.
So he's in the car racing over there and he's leaving her a voicemail. It's almost like a goodbye will letter, right? His last
words, yeah.
His last words to her. He's like, I like you. I like you a lot. He's just like, chua, chua. Money chua. And I'm like, really?
This is like Ricky from Love After
really?
Divorce.
Really? Chincha. Chincha. Chua. Chincha chua. I really like you. It's your last words to her.
Yeah. And he doesn't say sarange.
Yeah. He says chua. But guys, we all need to say the I love yous before it's all over. He should have said it the message.
Yeah, exactly.
When he was saying I like you, I ran upstairs to my husband. I just started ranting. I was like, what is this? Why is it always I like you, I like you? Why can't they ever say I love you? He looked at me and was like, I don't know. He's like, why are you?
Like, speak for the Korean people.
Yeah, why are you bothering me with this? I was like, fine. I thought you'd have an answer. Because it's not the first time in like really romantic moments, not even in this show, in other shows, it's like a lot of chua, I like you.
Maybe when you say sarange, you're like,
this is it.
We're getting married.
Well, that's what I want my husband to answer. And he couldn't. He is like, there you go again, making everybody say I love you. Because he always says that I forced him to say I love you first to me. So he's like, there you go again. Trying to get everyone to say I love you.
So in that call, he tells her, I died previously. And so presumably he has to die again, which actually doesn't follow the logic because she's transferring her fate. Why can't he transfer his fate to Yura or somebody else? But he like takes it upon himself as like, oh, I just got to live the same life that I lived.
Right. But it's also tough to like will your death on somebody else.
Yeah, I guess his death was accidental, whereas hers was
murder. And also he never had any reason to really hate anyone in the past life enough to give them his death. But okay, this is the whole though, is that he never tells Jiwon, and I've been thinking about this, but I never talked about it. He never told Jiwon that he was dead in 2023. Right. But then why does Jiwon think he's back? Of course he had to have died at some point to come back if he's from the future.
Right.
Like, where did she think he came from?
He told her, oh, I just fell asleep. And then when I woke up, it was 2013.
Right. That makes no sense. But I mean, I guess none of it makes sense. So yeah, now she finally knows that he also has death in his future. So then we move into episode 14. Hunky GM is out of the hospital. Of course, his face, not a scratch on it. Everybody knows that Yura is behind all of this. and that deadbeat husband and Suman are working together with her. There's just some scenes of them just like forehead kissing and vowing to stick together.
Yeah, it's fine. It's cute. Well, if your husband were to break his arm, would you go and tend to him?
Well, he would say no. Anytime he complains about anything, I'm like, just drink water. And so he's always like, even if I broke my arm, you would say drink water.
Okay, I have a funny story about that because that used to be my thing. Anytime somebody would be like a little sick, I'd be like, it's because you're not drinking enough water. And when I was in college, my best friend, we were in the dorms and she was getting really like, she had this cough for a very long time. And I kept telling her, you need to drink more water. I mean, she didn't drink a lot of water. So like, right. I would always tell her, drink more water. And then one day she was walking to class and she's like, she almost collapsed. She couldn't see. She was rushed to the hospital. And then they were like, oh, you have kidney failure.
Oh my gosh.
And then I go to the hospital because, you know, I was her roommate. And the doctor's asking me like, what happened? Can you tell me leading up to it? And I was like, well, she was coughing a lot. So I told her to drink more water. And he's like, oh yeah, that the water is probably what made her kidneys fail because it was overloaded. Like her kidneys were failing. I mean, but you know, I was like 18. And I was like, oh, I almost killed her.
With water. Yeah. Well, actually, you didn't push water on me, but you pushed Celtic salt.
Yes, that's right.
As you drop your water bottle.
Because, well, that, and I think that's a thing. Water alone, especially the water in urban cities, is stripped of all of its minerals. But like, you know, you go to the Alps or you go to Europe and all that mineral water has really good minerals in it. But we don't have that. So then adding the Celtic salt will remineralize your water. Mm. Have you been doing it?
You give me a bag. We do it sometimes. I forget. But also it's like salty.
Don't you like salty?
Not in my water. Mm, it okay. makes me feel like it's oceany.
Oh, I love that. Like I could be in the ocean just... gulping water. I love anything salty.
No, I like my Crystal Geyser, Arrowhead Springs. Like I like it fresh. But you were selling us on the Celtic salt in that it helps actually us retain the water better.
That's right. Because otherwise, because it doesn't have the minerals, the water just like kind of, you just pee it out, right? There's nothing, it doesn't really do much for you. Whereas with the Celtic salt, it goes into your cells and hydrates your cells. And so, you know, it's great for your skin and it's great for other benefits. Nutrients. Mm-hmm. So then we get to a scene where Soomin's dad and Chiwon's mom are just hanging out, kind of like waiting for their next instructions, and they're eating jjajangmyeon. Do you like jjajangmyeon?
Not as much as my husband does. Mm. He will go, like if he has lunch on his own, he'll go to the jjajangmyeon place.
What?
Yeah.
On his own?
On his own. And order a full bowl with the pork.
Oh my gosh.
Saucy pork thing. Like he just loves it that much.
There is a new show on Netflix called The Jjajangmyeon Rhapsody. It's with that guy, Pick Jong Won, who has done a lot of other of these types of shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the owner of that chain of jjajangmyeon places, right? Places. There's one near my mom's.
It's very house. Sweet. Yeah. But it was only two episodes and we watched it. It goes into the history of it and like the Chinese who had come to Korea, who had immigrated there, and the Korean government actually cut them off from finding any work. And so this is how they would make a living. And the jjajangmyeon used to be super cheap, like 10 cents. And then we watched that whole thing. And we're like, oh my God, I want to eat that so badly. So we went to go get it and it was very good. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe I don't like it because it's just a symbol of the oppression of my people in your country, which I deal with in my house every day.
Which is why we like it so much.
The other storyline that I'm just choosing to ignore because I find it so tedious is this Meek manager storyline. Yeah. So she's got cancer and she comes back to work. She is, you know, in the lounge with Jiwon and cheerful coworker. And she's like, aren't I so pathetic that when I'm anxious, I like to come to work. And Jiwon's like, no, you have friends here. And I was like, wow, that actually is so true. Yeah. That really rang true to me that, you know, I worked at the same company for 10 years, mostly with the same people. And it was so true. Work was like a haven. Just such friends. We would come in. We just give each other shit. I'm still very good friends with most of them. I get you, Meek manager. That's the only relatable part about Meek manager is that she has good friends at work. Of course, I wasn't running from a deadbeat cheating husband.
I know.
Like she is.
You were just running away from crazy children.
Everyday life. Yeah. The tedium of everyday life.
But what we hear is that Meek manager says, I think my husband is having an affair. She found evidence in their black box on the car. Mm-hmm. Which is also crazy because every single car in Korea has this. So, like, really, it's hard to get away with any kind of crime because everything is recorded.
Everything's CCTV.
CCTV. But then she had audio of the two of them fooling around in her car, but the police said it wasn't enough. And then Jiwon's like, oh, this was when adultery was illegal. And I looked it up. It was 2018 when the law was passed.
So you were breaking the law by cheating on your spouse. You could go to jail?
You could go to prison up to 2 years.
What?
And the person who you fornicated with could also go to prison.
Wow. But you got to prove fornication.
So you got, that is why, I mean, this was so, it's such a ridiculous scene because she brought the police with their Canon camera to take pictures of them fornicating.
Yeah, they'll just be like, it was just a tip, right? It was just a tip.
Yeah, exactly. What exactly does fornication mean? Penetration?
So she brings in the police to the apartment. It's the keypad is broken, just like in Jiwon's life. They have a glass table, yes, just like Jiwon's life. There's
the red shoes.
Hard candies. It's all mimicking Jiwon's life. Right. Except they bust in there.
And they're able to evade the police because the woman was coming out of the bathroom and she's like, oh, I was just here to drop off side dishes because I know you were in the hospital.
Right.
And so there's no clear evidence that they were having an affair.
I feel like she should have given them more time.
Yeah, exactly. You don't barge in immediately. There's kind of, you know, they're probably like
foreplay.
Foreplay, exactly.
You're going to foreplay. Maybe he doesn't foreplay with her. So he's so it's done. It's in 15 seconds.
Yeah,
we got to get in there. Yeah, no, she definitely did not give it enough time for them to actually do the act. So, of course, they are premature, just like Debbie Nussman. And they don't catch anybody in the act.
But Jiwon here is realizing, okay, this is imitating many aspects of her situation from her previous life. So she wants Meek Manager to avoid it. She wants this fate to go to Minhwan and Soomin.
Right.
So what she does is she gets a golf club and goes psycho and breaks the glass.
At the minimum, she can remove the thing that killed her, which was the glass table. She can't do anything else at this point, but she can like destroy that table. Now Jiwon has changed the fate of Meek Manager.
So we still have the death hanging over
somebody.
Over the ether, right? Somebody has to get it. So she's now like, okay, I can reverse this, reverse course, and transfer this onto Soomin if I seduce deadbeat husband.
In her mind, she needs deadbeat husband to want to kill Soomin. Like the same actions and the same feelings that he had towards her, he needs to now have towards Soomin. So now Jiwon and Hunky GM concoct a plan that Jiwon is going to seduce deadbeat husband. We see a few scenes of the two of them. She's flirting with him. He's like just thinking in his mind like, oh, I got to ditch Soomin now. I can get Jiwon back.
Right.
And he can get money this way. Mm-hmm. We don't get enough from Soomin, I think, in this episode.
She really hasn't.
She just sits on the phone like calling him. Where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't
she's
you home?
She's panicking because she's realizing he may be looking elsewhere for something.
Yeah.
Right.
We do see her take down Yura's phone number into her own phone from deadbeat husband.
Right.
I'm wanting her to take more of her fate into her own hands.
Yeah.
She's been so
passive.
Like ever since she married deadbeat husband, she thought
she
won.
Didn't, she doesn't have a job, right? She's stuck at this, at her in-law's house. So
you would think that she'd be concocting more.
Right. Because they made her seem very manipulative and
always
clever.
Thinking ahead. Yeah.
Right.
We got a hot guy scene. I thought Jihyuk, Hunky GM, is sitting at a meeting. He's very serious. He's like propositioning somebody. Turns out it's Yura's mute bodyguard.
That's right.
Just two hotties.
Yeah. Who is this bodyguard?
Hunky GM looks so sexy. I just like Hunky GM like doing business. He's always been so just like waiting around, watching Jiwon. Now he's taking charge. He is basically like, work with me or go down with Yura. And so we're not sure how he chooses the mute bodyguard. But
what we do see is that the next scene, the bodyguard is presenting Yura with red high heel shoes and a jar of that
hard candy.
Yes.
Except everybody else's high heels in this show are just regular ass Sam Edelman's.
Yes. Hers are from Authentique.
I spied a red undersole also, you know, which makes it extra special.
You know, isn't that crazy back in the day how obsessed people were with
Louboutins.
I mean, I guess that was a result of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Right? People were just so into luxury shoes. I feel like a lot of that has waned a bit.
I feel like luxury brands just don't have the pull they used to. And then pretty much the last scene, which, you know, talk about dark. It's a dark office. G1 is working there at night and Deadbeat Husband comes in. So we've seen over the last two episodes, basically G1 has made a fool of Deadbeat Husband. So he is now feeling very bitter and burned by her. He's chasing her around. She's hiding in fear. It was like the darkest I think the show has gone. Yeah.
And actually quite realistic.
I felt his anger.
Yeah.
And he's shown violence before in the previous life. Right. At the end of the episode, he's basically choking her.
Yeah. And I will say of all of the dark scenes we've seen in the last two episodes, this was really the darkest and she showed real fear and it looked like she was choking. So it was very realistic and quite scary. But we all, I was like, okay, hunky GM, speed it up. I know you're about to run in here.
He punches and pushes him off and he's trying to wake G1 up. I mean, obviously she's going to wake up.
Obviously. We still have two more episodes to fill. Actually, a friend called. And then as a side note, it's so funny because I have some regular phone calls with some girlfriends. And they're always like, I don't feel like I need to catch up with you because I already heard everything on the podcast, which is so funny. But then she was like, oh, yeah, so much happens in the next two episodes.
Because we're on the last two.
More? How could there be more?
It's almost over. We say this every time. We are going to miss these guys.
Yeah, I will. It is... It feels like you're a part of this story, you know, because you live with them for 16 episodes. Yeah.
I want to see Hunky GM, the actor, in his next role, have more vitality because I really think he's such a cutie and he could.
Yeah, he's been so kind of one note throughout. I would love him in just like a comedy or in a period piece where he's like an angry soldier. I need some emotion. I could do a throuple with him.
Oh, for sure. I wouldn't need my own bathroom.
You don't need to do anything. Just sit there.
Yeah, I wouldn't need my own carport.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care about equality.
I'll park on the street. Okay, that was it for our penultimate recap episode for Marry My Husband. Next week, we come back with the last two episodes, episodes 15 and 16. Thanks for joining us today. We will talk to you next week. Bye.